Moncrief on News Talk.
After Bambi Thug's success on Tuesday, the focus of Eurovision fans, politicians and activists will be on tonight's second Eurovision semi-final in Sweden. And this one looks to have far more of a political charge given the participation of Israel in tonight's contest. Our Henry has been taking the temperature in the Swedish capital. But before we talk to Henry, I do want to start by just playing you this clip. This is a clip of yesterday's full dress rehearsal. There you go. There was some applause, but mixed with a lot of booing as well. Afternoon, Henry.
Good afternoon. And this is Malmö calling again, Sean. And hearing that there was a lot of boos, and the actual semi-finals is tonight. I've just been handed a ticket to it. There is a heavy security here, very different atmosphere to Liverpool. Liverpool was one massive party. Remember, Ireland are both on 7 wins. So, you know, there's lots of talk about, obviously, Bambi, but that security presence last night I saw actually these big tanks. But if we talk about the Israeli delegation and what they've been advised by their own government is to stay in their hotel rooms. And Eden Golan, she's a 20-year-old singer, very photogenic, very, very talented. She's Russian-Israeli, or now you could say she's just Israeli because she's moved out of Russia and lives in Israel. Friendly, charismatic, wouldn't do an interview. Khan, the national broadcaster, they had to do 3 rewrites of the song in order to get it through. It was originally called October 7th, it's now called October Rain. Eventually, the EBU said yes to clear it because there was a similar incident some years ago, so there was the president, so they had to let it in. Anyway, I did bump into, this is what happens out here, you just bump into people. I bumped in to the Israeli delegation, and they'd had a lot of security.
I'm the Israeli director of the delegation, and she's the creator. She's the writer of the song.
So,
she's a very famous singer in Israel.
How does it feel to be here at Eurovision this year?
For me, it's very moving, and this is my homeland, and I want to be here. I want our voice to be heard and clear and loud. And I came all the way from Israel to stand here at this moment.
And do you feel relief that the song is here, that you're here, or do you feel perhaps it would have been easier to stay at home?
No. It's this year, it's very important for us to be here. It's a mission for us to be here and to hear our voice. And the song that Karen wrote is so accurate. Each word. I'm still broken from this hurricane. We've been through awful things this year, and we're still broken.
And you talk about being broken and the fact that, you know, the words had to be changed, and you're here. Like earlier on today here in Malmö, I was at a protest, so there are some people protesting that aren't happy that you're here. What's your message to them?
First of all, we come in peace, and we want music is made of love. Actually, this is a celebration of music, and Israel is a big part of it, and we do good music, and we have good people, and we deserve to be heard and to live our lives like everybody else. And I hope that we will have fun and that we can do good.
United by music.
But that didn't seem to be the case last night, Henry. I also saw something on social media that the Israeli delegation actually left earlier than the others.
Yeah, you're right. They all sit around with champagne and the cameras focus in on them. Yet they disappeared. And later on, they are one of the favorites to go through, because remember, it's not about who you don't vote for. It's about who you vote for. And lots of countries in Europe support Israel politically, and they've always done very well in Eurovision. Italy, for example, you'll see them getting lots of 12 points tonight. They will go through. That's what everybody's saying. But yeah, that intense booing in rehearsals. I think I know this is. I'm not sure about this, but some of those boos sounded like Irish boos, but they had like a slight Irish accent on them because there's a lot of Irish superfans here. And I just quickly mentioned Marty Whelan. He was asked about it in a press conference and he wants to stick to the celebration. And I will be speaking to Marty Whelan. I'll be sitting down with him for a proper chat about 25 years at Eurovision, hosting it, commentating on the Hard Shoulder a bit later on. But yeah, loud shouts of boos, Free Palestine. And Khan issued a statement, and this is what they said. They said, Eden stood on the stage during the dress rehearsal with pride and gave an incredible performance. This did not silence her, and this will not silence her. The delegation say it's important for them to be here. And you heard them there saying, they come in peace. I come in peace. That's a real kind of biblical type thing to say.
Was there any sign of a reaction from Eden on that? Because it must be very, it's nerve-wracking
it's
enough, I imagine,
hard.
Doing the,
You're young. I mean, but there's no Irish comparison. But obviously, we won all those, and it's not the same. I know it's not the same. We won all those Eurovisions back in the 90s, and Ireland had the Northern Ireland question at the time, and it had the trouble question, or I should say the North question, if I'm properly politically correct. And, you know, we carried on. I know it's not the same because this is music and this is government, and the government were involved. The president pushed this through. I think the broadcaster would have been happy to stay home because the security presence is massive. There's snipers on the roof. I'm coming to you from an official delegation hotel. I had to go through two airport securities. It's a bit like when you go through Dublin Airport USA clearance, like heavy security. But we mentioned there protests, for example. There's protests, it's an hour ahead here. There's a protest, a very, very large protest taking place quite close to where we are at the moment. I bumped into one, as you do. You just keep bumping into things here. I went for a walk. I was listening to ABBA the day before you came, my favorite ABBA song. And I actually got all emotional and I started to cry, not about this issue, just because I was in Sweden and it was ABBA. Anyway, sorry, I'm going off on one. Here are people at the flotilla going. This particular flotilla is on its way to Gaza.
Hello, I'm from Sweden and we are here manifesting against Israel's terror actions against Palestine.
So we're here down in the harbour.
Down
in
the harbour,
Malmö.
And there is a ship coming in, which is the ship to Gaza. I think it comes from Norway, I'm not quite sure. And it has been harbouring in Gothenburg, and now it's coming here. And it's going to, it's like a protest against the, how do you say, the blockade against the.
Like a flotilla.
Yeah, like a flotilla.
How do you feel about Eurovision and Israel taking part?
Well, I think it's a pity that there has been a distinction between different countries taking part and prohibiting, for instance, Russia for their crimes in Ukraine, but they are not prohibiting Israel to participate, which I think is discrimination.
I would say it's a symbolic gesture because you know as well as I that nothing gets into
no,
Gaza.
No, Israel
presently.
Will stop the boat.
Yeah, but I mean, it's necessary too that we don't give up. It's absolutely essential that we don't give up.
How do you feel about Israel taking part in Eurovision?
It's the most outrageous thing that I've ever heard of. Absolutely insane. They have absolutely nothing to do there. And don't tell me it's not political, because it has been political every single year until now.
So you think the Eurovision's always been political?
Yeah, you can't. I mean, the songs have been political, the statements have been, everything has been political. And Russia was excluded 2 years ago, so I don't go down that road at all. The most outrageous thing that has happened this century.
How do you feel about Israel taking part in Eurovision?
I don't like it. I think we stopped, they stopped Russia for the same reason they should have stopped Israel.
I think this whole charade is art washing.
You think it's art washing? Why do you think it's art washing?
Because I think this is just like the Met Gala is shifting focus to a spectacle rather than focusing
so
on.
So we're shifting everything to singing and dancing and away from the conflict.
Yeah, it's a way to distract the people.
And is that what art washing is? Using art to wash
Rather
reputation?
Than rather than using art to actually show the truth of society.
Some interesting points in there, Arita, because it has been the case in the past. Now, we wouldn't be an expert in Eurovision things, but there have been songs before that were quite political, but they seemed like but they were acceptable. And of course, Russia was excluded, but Israel hasn't been, which just kind of perhaps is open to the accusation of a double standard. I would imagine that the delegations there, Henry, must be when they're giving interviews and the like.
Yes,
they have to steer a very careful line around all this.
Yeah, no, it's really, really interesting what you said there, because obviously Israel will say, and be devil's advocate here, they will say that they were the ones invaded, and they would say it's different. And also, remember the EBU is all about broadcasting rights, and this is a really key issue. It's you know, a massive. It's not just Eurovision. It's football. It's rugby. It's the Olympics. It's sport. And if you decide to boycott it, your organization will lose the rights to that. And Kirsty Blake Knox from the Irish Independent happened to be chatting to Michael Keeley, head of delegation in the Eurovision, and I couldn't help but throw in my my tape recorder. And this is what. The head of delegation of RTE, Michael Keeley, had to say about it.
No, because we're a public service broadcaster. We don't take political stands on issues, you know, of you know, when it comes to things like this. The BBC don't, French television don't, SVT don't, nobody else in Europe, and no public service broadcaster in Europe would. Because if we withdraw from it, that's the end of the Olympics, it's the end of the Euros, it's the end of the World Cup, you know. All the fun in our lives will be taken away. I mean, there was always going to be a movement there. There was when the Eurovision was in Tel Aviv a few years ago. I mean, I saw them, the protest outside the RTE. You know, look, this is a song contest, you know, and at the end of the day, like, I think it's very unfair to put pressure on artists to the extent that Bambi has had to endure over the last few months. I mean, some of the abuse that's been directed at them has been pretty, you know, vile, to be perfectly honest, and I don't think there's a place for that. I don't think it does a service either to the cause of the people.
Yeah, yeah. Well, at the same time, Bambi had seemed quite clear about the situation vis-a-vis Israel until they actually won the competition, and then that kind of that position became more nuanced. Let me say. But Henry, it sounds like he's saying that. Ooh. If Ireland, for instance, has said, "Look, we're not going to take part in this year's Eurovision because of the participation of Israel," that they would lose the rights to loads of other things.
Well, I mean, that was what was hinted at there by Michael. I'm not 100% sure if that's the case, but what they would say, what broadcasters would say, is, "Why should we pull out? Why should we pull out? Surely it should be Israel." And there was huge, and there's still huge pressure on Israel to pull out. Remember, it's a few hours to go. It's an hour ahead. Israel will be taking to the stage in a few hours. There's still time for the EBU in Israel to sit down and say, "Do you know what, lads? Let's just just pull out. Just leave this one alone." And then others will say, "No, that would be giving in." So it's very political. I know this is a music competition, and I know it's like, for example, where I'm sitting talking to you, there's this big fluffy kind of Eurovision thing out there that's very flamboyant. It's very camp. It's all those things. It's a celebration of music, but it's also it's politics. It's every year. There's always something. And obviously this year is, and the super fans are upset with each other. You've got pro Israel should take part, and anti super fans are having fights on WhatsApp groups. They're not actually fighting in the streets or anything like that with each other, but the super fans are really upset over it, and they've lost friendships over it. So it's splitting the Eurovision in two. It's upsetting so many people. And you know that slogan, "United in Music," it's not united in any way. At the same time, there's still a celebration. Okay, it's not the same crack as Liverpool, but there's still crack to be had. And there's a lot of people walking that fine line. There's superfans right now at the protest saying that they want it to stop, but they'll still go along tonight and boo. So everyone's taking a slightly different angle on it. And just to say, I'm here to report. That's what I'm completely neutral. I'm here to report. Yeah. But on that, I did get to speak to some of the acts. I got to speak to Musty, representing Belgium. Really, really cool act. And before the party is over. And also Serbia. So Belgium's tonight. Serbia are through to the final. Teodora with Ramonda. It's about peace and love.
Well, me as an artist, I am totally against war, against any form of violence, all of that. But unfortunately, we as artists very seldomly have answers to how to stop events like this from happening. And therefore, I feel like we're all here to create moments where people that might feel sad, scared, lonely, yeah, can just have a look at and just get some positive vibes from. And I hope that we can, that I can create a moment like that on stage, and eventually at Eurovision can unite by music.
We can't be blind and we can be like nothing is happening. It's really, it's a shitty situation, but I think it's unfair to put responsibility on artists like us. You know, even in Belgium I had like a petition, like only in the UK, but you know, it's we can't be blind as a statement. We know it's a tricky situation, but it's unfair also to put the responsibility of, you know, even if I withdraw it now, there will be maybe one article or two in the Belgian press, and then what? Nothing. It's doesn't change anything, you know.
You know, we have the world in a very crisis situation. We have our brains and our heads always in some kind of overthinking, and that's the message that I wanted to give, is to just never lose hope.
Right. Okay. Well, I suppose you know, people are there trying to be optimistic about the whole thing. Henry, finally, and I don't want you to set you off again. I don't want you, you know, bursting into tears. But there are rumors that ABBA might actually turn up at the Eurovision.
Yeah, I'm hearing rumors that ABBA not only will turn up, they could perform. There could be avatars, and if I meet them, I don't know, I think I'll just die and go to heaven. I mean, being in Sweden at Eurovision 50 years on from Waterloo and then being in the company of ABBA, I just don't know what I'm going to do with myself. I mean, I just don't know.
Oh, my God. And is the rumor that it would be tonight at the semi-final or on...
It would be Saturday.
I'd say
it would be Saturday.
Yeah.
Tonight's going to be a cluster of, more than likely, of booing, heavy, heavy, heavy security, perhaps the odd fan being thrown out for booing. And it's going to be like some sort of crazy panto.
Yeah. And panto you were, yeah. And you were saying when we were talking earlier in the week that if something goes hard, like if there's a cascade of booing or chants or any of that kind of thing,
yes,
will they cut to something else or can they pipe in applause?
Yeah, Michael Keeley did say that they're ready for piped cheering, and they'll have videos they'll be able to cover off if anyone rushes the stage. They'll have a whole plan in place. Remember, the Swedes are quite good at this. They're actually a bit fed up with it all. They're just like, for crying out loud, our security bill is huge. Mm. And where's the crack? They'll have plans in place. So when you watch on TV, there might be booing in the arena, but at home you might not hear it because they're going to do their very best to try and cover up any protests. So watching on TV, you won't see much. I'm in the arena, and I'll let you know if something does happen.
Yeah.
See it.
Yeah. Well, hopefully ABBA turns up on Saturday. They don't have far to come. It's just springing for a taxi for them. So hopefully that'll work out. Henry, thanks a million as ever. Henry McKean there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.